Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our Daily Communion Meditation, where today we're talking about how the little children were brought to Jesus. I was just thinking about this the other day. One of our partners on our partner Zoom call was talking about the series The Chosen that you can watch on TV, and I hadn't watched it yet. He said, oh, you should definitely go in and watch it. I began to watch this series on The Chosen, and it's got this part of the series where these little children are coming up to Jesus. Jesus is camping out kind of on his own out in the wilderness. And the little children come out to them. And he tells them, they say, hey, can we join you? He says, well, I've got work to do. But then next thing you know, they're working together with him. And it just reminded me this time where the children are brought to Jesus and Jesus is too busy and the disciples get mad and say, take the children away. Jesus is busy. Jesus has got work to do. But Jesus says, no, bring the children to me. He makes time for them, even though he was busy. He knew this secret, I believe, that we have more than enough time. He makes time for the children. He said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. I think for a couple things. Number one, if you have kids, or just in all relationships in general, just prioritizing relationship, being more present with the people around us, and just making time for people. Because I know I was kind of convicted of it. Just in my own life, got three kids, and sometimes they want to play, sometimes they want to do things, and sometimes it's, the answer is, you know what, daddy's busy, daddy's got work to do, I got things to get done. And we don't make that time to connect with them. And a lot of times, we can just make that time. If you watch the series on The Chosen, the kids were doing things that Jesus needed to get done. They were doing it together with him. He was making the time to bring them along with him. I think we can do that same thing. And then there's also the aspect of this, of just receiving the kingdom of God with childlike faith. But why are we taking communion? About 10 years ago, I had pretty much no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing life on my own without God, but unfortunately, I was walking in darkness. Didn't even know it, but I was walking in darkness. Was stressed out all the time, had the weight and pressure of everything sitting on me. At the time, I'm running my personal training gym business, and things are just not going the way that I want it to go. Business is up and down. I got some months where I'm losing thousands of dollars a month. And I remember just going for a walk with my wife around the neighborhood and telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, I came across a challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. It says, if you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it'll change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, you read Proverbs chapter one. Day two of the month, you read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that to the end of the month, and you start back over. So I got started with this, and very quickly I saw that what my way of thinking, my way of doing things, and God's way of thinking and doing things were definitely not in alignment together. But after a while of doing this, my mind began to get renewed some, and then one morning, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page of me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals and lessons and systems and teaching for all the different areas of life, areas like purpose and health and family and finances and all the different areas of life. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. I just began to seek God and press into him, and he just began to show up and to teach me and to train me. My relationship just began to grow with him exponentially. And it wasn't all easy all the time. I had to unlearn a lot of my old ways, a lot of my old patterns, break free of some things. Got put in a lot of impossible looking situations, but I just saw God come through over and over again. And out of everything, over the course of about 10 years, I turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing I believe is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It can turn the tables and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to remember him and stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits in the new covenant. And I found personally, it's this way that we can take these promises that God has made. We can receive them by faith and take communion over them as a symbolic way of activating those promises in our life. When we believe, we receive that moment that we take that communion over it, serves as a marker in time. And then we experience God helping us to walk out that promise from that point on. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and honor and reverence for him. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God didn't have to send Jesus. We were separated from him, doing life on our own without him, stuck in our sins, stuck in darkness. Probably didn't even know it. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send his one and only son to redeem us and bring us back to him. Jesus is willing to come. He's willing to humble himself, even unto death on a cross. He's rejected by his own people. He's betrayed by his own disciple. He's spit on and hit and whipped and mocked and ridiculed, nailed to the cross. Worst of all, I believe he's separated from God. The cup of God's wrath is poured onto his body. He was destroyed. It says it pleased God to crush him. But then he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He connects us back to God and makes us right and holy and perfect in his sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. Have this personal relationship with him, all because of his one sacrifice. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do it? We're going to get connected to the Master. We're going to bring our relationship with God down into today to impact all the different areas of life. And masters of anything are simply masters of the fundamentals. We're going to bring some fun into these fundamentals that we talk about every day. Some childlike excitement and joy and fun into these fundamentals today. So we're going to go through these fundamentals today, these four fundamentals. And I'm going to try something a little different. We're going to try to go through them just a little faster. Our communion meditations have been getting a little long. So just bear with me. It might be just a little bit different today. So our first one, we're going to get positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. Every day, we've got to keep repositioning ourselves back into light. We're going to position ourselves in humility. Just that simple childlike faith and belief, humbling ourselves like little children. We're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We're going to walk in forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrongs. Delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. It's one of the easiest ways just to maintain our positioning all day long. And being in position is a big deal, because when we get in position, we're stepping into the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he put it in Christ. So this day today, we got access to God's spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy. It's available to flow through us today. His time, he's given us more than enough time today to get it all done and have plenty of time left over. In Christ, he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. There's finances that we need available. We've got purpose for our life in there. There's grace for today in there. It's all in there. We have to learn how to receive it, and we got to learn how to get it flowing through us in our life. So the first step is to get in position. Our second step is to magnify the light. We're going to turn up the brightness of it. And to magnify the light, it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our hearts. It's going to give us hearts that understand God's grace and help us to just be more consistent day in and day out. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? You've probably heard the expression, you're turning a molehill into a mountain. The more you focus on something, the more it grows bigger and expands. Mostly we talk about in the negative, we talk about making a molehill into a mountain, we turn the problems into something bigger. That same principle applies in the other direction. We can just start magnifying God. Just meditating on him, rolling it over and over and over in our mind, just talking about it over and over again. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing with God. We've got God on our side. And magnify every good thing that he put within us. All the things that are going well, looking back at how far he's already brought us. All that he's already done for us in our lives, because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Simply choosing to let them go. We're not going to magnify them. We're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God, and we're going to magnify God as bigger, because he's able to solve those problems a whole lot better than we are. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could be out of position all day long. Bitterness, pride, envy, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the problems, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, toiling away in our mind rather than resting and trusting in God. But when we take our position in the light, well, whichever one we're positioned in, there's going to be symptoms. When we're out of position, you might find the tendency we're retaliating at people. We're withholding good things that we know to do. We might avoid people or withdraw from people. Isolate ourselves. Might be this heaviness and weight and pressure on the inside. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness. Like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's the toiling away in our mind, trying to figure out all these problems, what to do, which direction to go. We're dreading things in the future, looking ahead and envisioning all these worst case scenarios. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in Him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. We got His peace and His joy and His love, His spirit and power all flowing through us. His mind and wisdom begins to flow. We've got purpose for today. We become part of His family. We've got more than enough time to get it all done in Him. He supplies our needs according to His riches and glory. There's health and energy that flows in Him. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around again. Because sometimes we miss it. Sometimes life throws stuff at us and we get off track. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms quickly and turn it back around again. How do we do it? I think we start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We forgive ourselves. If we need to forgive other people or reconcile with other people, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking Him for His grace and His goodness and His love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank You that what You put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me today in a beautiful, graceful way. Help me to tap into it and cultivate it and see it flowing at a greater level in my life today. You pray that simple prayer, things are going to start shifting around. You'd be amazed at what will happen. And then our third fundamental, we're going to stay tuned in today. This is a practice. Let's get skilled at staying tuned into Him every day. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. Lately, we've talked about installing some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases or a sentence that we keep writing and reinforcing every night before bed as making a commitment to walking in God's standards for our life. His standards are what are meant to navigate us throughout the day. It might look something like the following. God is working continually for my good, and I'm going to do continually good for others. And you keep writing that, keep reinforcing it, keeps you giving you that reminder. When you're tempted to stress or worry, wait a minute, God's working for my good. When people do things to you that get under your skin or push your buttons, you're reminded, wait a minute, I'm going to do continually good for them, just like God's doing for me. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then to magnify, what went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? And then I like to ask this question, God, what are You trying to show me today? Just get still and listen, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to just start recording our journey with God, I believe. And then we're going to stay tuned into Him throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down for a couple minutes, get still, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get powered up or charged up in Him again. And then the final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. And I'm getting out ahead of Him, and the grace is not there. It's full of effort and striving. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do, and I was getting behind God. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning. We're talking about childlike faith. Let's bring some childlike excitement into the day. And we remember this very important principle that the first thing out of our mouth every day sets the tone for the whole day. As I began to learn about that, I began to seek God. What's the best thing for us to say? I felt like He was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1 in the very beginning of the Bible. What's the first words we see God speak? Let there be light. So I've started my days like this for a while now. The very first thing out of my mouth when I wake up, let there be light. It's amazing how just such a simple little thing makes such a big difference. Just sets the tone for the whole day, brings a different energy into the day. And then we just simply start walking out that plan together, connected with God. Just simple, childlike faith that He's with us every step of the way. and we get to that place of confident faith, his grace begins to surge through us. He begins to beautify our life. He begins to bring these beautiful, heavenly, perfect gifts from above. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's take a look at this scripture today. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. Like I said, I was feeling a little convicted after I watched The Chosen the other day. But I need to do a better job. When my children come to me and want to spend time with me, want to play with me, want to do things with me, I need to make more time for them. Sometimes I was good about it. I would try to remember, but other times it seemed like I was just getting too busy. So it says, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples didn't like it because they thought Jesus was too busy. Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. So Heavenly Father, just so thankful for you. You always make time for us. Imagine going to God and God, you got something you want to talk to God about. And God's just like, you know what? I'm too busy. I got work to do. God doesn't do that to us. So Heavenly Father, I'm personally asking for your help and anybody else who wants to believe with me for their own children or just even in the relationships in their life to make more time for people, the important people in our lives. We're asking for your help, Lord, to get better at this, to be more like Jesus in this. And we're asking for your help, Lord, to help us have this childlike faith, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to the little children. They have the secrets to the kingdom of heaven. Just to have this simple childlike faith and belief in you. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Just take a moment to remember. God didn't have to come get us. He could have left us on our own. He chose the way of love. Jesus is willing to humble himself even unto death on a cross for us. To be spit on and hit and whipped and nailed to a cross. To be separated from God. God crushes him. His body is destroyed. He became sin for us. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. And that same spirit and power that raised him back to life now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him like little children. And I don't believe he ever turns us away. And that's a truly amazing thing to me. So Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's the forgiveness of sins. It releases us from darkness. He transfers us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God. Now, but as we go to God, he just willingly gives us his presence. Just helps us to know him that much more. As he helps us to walk this out from this point on in our lives, I believe it helps us to know him more as well. So Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. Health and fitness. When I had my gym, something God had prompted in me, we used to have this day once a year we would do called Play Like a Kid Again Day. We come in and we got grown adults, sometimes older people playing hopscotch and double dutch jump rope and dodgeball and all these fun games that we played as children. Sometimes as we get older, we lose our ability to play. So as you go through your workouts today, let's introduce some more play into it. Have more fun with it. Just bring some more zest and energy and fun into the day today. playing like a kid. Kids run, they jump, they throw, and they do it just amazing endurance, just over and over again. Because it's fun. It's bringing some of that spirit and life back into our movement, moving more like little kids. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.